In this edition of the Lacrosse Strength Podcast, we'll be going over case studies of two different athletes.
This is the Lacrosse Strength Podcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode number 13 of the Lacrosse Strength Podcast. This is Pete Kandigas from lacrossestrength.com and lacrossestrengthpodcast.com. Today, I wanted to go over a couple of different case studies. I have two different athletes, two different lacrosse players that I kind of wanted to go over. They're similar in many ways and different in many ways. The first athlete is going into his sophomore year of high school. He's tall. He's 6'1", 185, and as typical of a 14 or 15-year-old kid, he's all arms and legs and very weak in the trunk. The other athlete is the same size, 6'1", about 185, except this kid is a sophomore in college playing for an Ivy League school. In this case, he's got a much greater lifting age, training age, so he's got a lot more in-depth background. So I wanted to go over the differences and some of the similarities between how we train both of these two kids. With the younger kid, as with just about all of my athletes, as soon as they come in, the first thing they start to do is foam roll. We use it as a kind of a self-massage technique. We use it to roll out their calves, their hamstrings, their glutes, their quads. We use it to roll out their groin, and we'll also use it to roll out their upper back as well, their thoracic area. From there, we'll do some corrective exercise. In this particular case, we'll work on some lower back strength, maybe some bird dogs, something like that. We'll also do some ankle mobilization drills just to make sure that our ankles are properly lubed up and mobilized for the work ahead. After that, we usually get started with some sort of a power exercise. I like to do the power exercises first because that's when the nervous system is the freshest. We're able to get a lot more out of that. In this particular case, at least tonight, we ended up doing some box jumps. So he ended up just jumping onto boxes. In the past, we've done some medicine ball tosses, some squat jumps, that kind of thing. From there, we ended up getting into a hip dominant exercise. In this particular case, we ended up using some suitcase deadlifts. Basically, what has happened with this particular person is that we started off with trap bar deadlift with just 135 pounds on the bar. So that's 245s on each side of the bar, assuming the trap bar is 45 pounds. I don't know if it is or not, but anyway, it's close enough. And what ended up happening was that his back was getting sore, maybe overly sore. So basically the limiting factor for that particular lift was his low back. His trunk and his low back was just not strong enough to be able to handle the type of lift or the type of resistance with a lift like a trap bar deadlift. So what we ended up doing in order to deload that deadlift pattern even further is to use the suitcase. Now, in this case, he ended up using 50-pound dumbbells on both sides. So he's still having a pretty decent load, but he's deadlifting with 100 pounds rather than with 135 pounds. And just that drop of weight has allowed him to go through that deadlift exercise without having any low back problems. So that's one of the adjustments that we had to make. What we ended up doing in this particular case is off of the suitcase deadlift, we ended up doing some hip flexor stretching as well, just to try and stretch out his hip flexors. So we'd end up going from one exercise to the other and back and forth until we ended up getting three sets. So we did three sets of eight on the suitcase deadlift, and we ended up doing about three sets of 30 seconds on the hip flexor stretches. From there, we ended up going into our regular inverted horizontal pull. We used the TRX cables, TRX bands, in order to do some inverted rows. And we pushed that off with with push-ups. In this particular case, he was doing his push-ups pretty easily, so we ended up using a jump stretch band behind his back. The way we used it was we put a jump stretch band, wrapped it around both of his hands with the band running around his back so that when he's in the down position, he doesn't have any resistance, but when he's in the up position, he's got a ton of resistance provided by the band. So again, we ended up doing three sets of eight. In this particular case, we had to drop down a little bit. Our goal was three sets of eight, but by the time we got to the third set of his inverted rows, he was only able to do about four, which was fine. We ended up doing two negatives after that. With the jump stretch band on his push-ups, he was only able to get three done. And then we would just take the band off and we would do five push-ups after that. So again, we would do three sets of eight with that particular group of exercises. The next grouping of exercises we did tonight would be a pull-up variation. We ended up doing pull-ups with a neutral grip, and we did rear foot elevated split squat. And we ended up using two 15-pound dumbbells with that particular exercise. So again, we tried for three sets of eight on each exercise, going back and forth and back and forth until we were able to finish that grouping off. From there, we did some core exercises. We did some planks, nice simple planks, 30 seconds each, three sets of 30 seconds. And then we did side planks. From there, our conditioning for the day was a farmer's walk. Tonight, I really wanted to go outside to do sled drags, but it was absolutely teeming outside, thunder and lightning and all that kind of stuff, so we had to make the switch. So he ended up doing farmer's walks with 60-pound dumbbells in each hand. We ended up doing that for conditioning and grip strength purposes. So that's what we ended up doing with our younger athlete. And basically, like I said, his particular weakness was his low back and his trunk. So what we try to do is modify as we can to allow us to complete exercises, the exercise patterns that we're looking to get done, but also protecting the back at the same time so we don't injure this boy any further. Our next athlete is a 21-year-old college athlete who's been training with me for a long time. So a lot of the exercises he already knows, or he's been pretty well schooled in the fundamentals. Plus, at the school that he goes to now, he's got plenty of opportunity to work with a strength coach there year round. So he's always getting he's always being followed to make sure that he's doing the right thing. So in this particular case, this man comes in and he was going to go through the similar type of exercises. To start with, he's doing a foam roll. After the foam roll, he's going to do box jumps. In this case, he does box jumps with 15-pound dumbbells in his hand. So we're going to change that up in that way. He also does kettlebell swings with a 35-pound kettlebell. And in this particular case, this man has a kind of a tight pec area. So what we'll do is we'll have him do a set of 15 kettlebell swings. He'll do a set of eight box jumps, and then he'll go stretch his pecs for 30 seconds on each side. And then he'll come back, and that'll be the rotation between kettlebell swings, box jumps with weight, and stretching his pecs. So we'll do that. The next particular set of exercises we'll do is with him, we're doing a weighted rear foot elevated split squat. In this particular case, he's got about 160 pounds on his back to do three sets of eight on both sides. We decided to do it this way so that we're able to keep a large amount of weight off of his spine, but he's still able to get a decent amount of split squat work at the same time. In this particular case, we are switching off again with hip flexor stretching. So he'll do sets of 30-second hip flexor stretch as well. So flip-flop back and forth between the rear foot elevated split squat and the hip flexor stretching. His next exercise, we just started doing a regular flat bench with him tonight. So we ended up doing four sets of flat bench, and we changed that off with a dumbbell row for his back, for his horizontal pull. So he's doing 75 pounds with a 75 pound dumbbell with the dumbbell pull, and with four sets of bench press. He ended up getting up to about, 190 pounds tonight. He finished up with 190 pounds for four, which for him is pretty decent. Our next grouping of exercises for this man ended up being chin-ups, and we matched that up with a single-legged deadlift using a kettlebell. So what we ended up doing was using three sets of eight for the chin up, and three sets of eight on each leg for his single-legged deadlift with the kettlebell. That worked out pretty good. After that, we ended up switching off to do some core work with him. Our planks were much different. What we ended up doing was, we had him put his hands on the floor, and he had his feet on a stability ball. And in this particular case, what we ended up doing was we did a couple of different sets for 30 seconds where we had him use his hands wide. We had him use his hands together, and then we had him use his hands a little bit wider and only use one foot. And then we did another set using the other foot. So we ended up getting about four sets out of the four sets of 30 seconds out of the plank in his particular case, and that was what we did tonight. So basically, as you can see, the typical workout ended up being very similar between the two athletes, but because of different experiences and different injury patterns, we ended up changing some things around a little bit, just slight tweaks that were required to have the person go through a particular workout in a safe manner. And I'll see these guys again probably on Wednesday. So those are our two case studies tonight. Any questions about that or any questions on anything at all, you can send me an email at pete@lacrossestrength.com. And also, if you can do me a huge favor, go to lacrossestrength.com, and on the left-hand side on our link for our Facebook page, if you could just sign up for the Facebook page or just click like or whatever, so you'll be able to get some updates on our Facebook page as well. The more people I'm able to get on that, then I'll be able to actually create a URL that can say Lacrosse Strength for Facebook, facebook.com/lacrossestrength. At some point, I'm going to get that, but I got to have enough people, enough fans of the page to get there. So if you could do me a huge favor, it doesn't cost anything. Just kind of click like. Also, on the right-hand side of the Lacrosse Strength website, if you can sign up for our newsletter as well, we would absolutely appreciate it, and we'll get some information out to you. So if you have checked us out on iTunes, thank you very much. If you can leave us a little review, I'd appreciate it. If not, please head over to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Thanks a lot, and have a great night.